About a half hour after Bleeder's attack, Wayne walked out of the governor's fancy washroom. Only in his head, it wasn't the washroom. He just knew to call it that here. Wayne passed into the room with the couches where the guards had been gunned down. Wax stood inside with an envelope into which he dropped something small and metallic. He sealed it, then handed it to a young messenger from the governor's staff.
Deliver it quickly. Pound on the door. Wake her up if you have to. And don't get scared off if she cusses at you or threatens to shoot you. She won't actually hurt you.
The young man nodded, though he'd gone pale.
Tell her it's urgent. Don't let her toss it aside and read it in the morning. You stay there until she reads what I wrote. You understand?
The young man nodded again.
Good lad. Off with you.
Wayne strolled over to Wax, passing the open door down to the safe room. The bodies around it had been removed, though the blood remained.
Renette?
I thought of something that might help.
I could have delivered that, you know.
You, she would shoot.
Only because she likes me.
Wayne, you know she doesn't actually like you.
You always say that, but you're just not seeing the truth, Wax.
She tries to kill you.
To keep me alive. She knows I live a dangerous life, so keeping me on me toe is the best way to make sure I stick around. Anyway, was that Mercy I saw in there with the governor and his important folk?
She and Milan arrived a short time back. Aradel wants to declare martial law.
And you don't?
Wayne took a seat on one of the nice couches that didn't have much blood spattered on it. Important people were meeting nearby. He suspected he knew what would come next, and he intended to wait around for it.
Bleeder set this all up, Wayne. She's been pushing us toward this. I rip out his tongue. I stab out his eyes.
Now, I'm as for dismemberment as the next fella, but that's a mite violent for this time of day.
Bleeder wrote it on the wall down below. A poem of some sort. It doesn't feel finished to me.
She nailed that priest through the eyes.
And ripped out Windsting's tongue.
Wax fished in his pocket and brought something out, tossing it to Wayne.
What's this?
Wayne turned it over in his fingers. It was a piece of painted wood.
Remains of the marksman's mask. Bleeder was wearing it.
You think she was him all along?
Maybe. It would have served her purpose, riling up the people of the slums, reminding them how rich the houses are. By bringing him down, I put myself at odds with the common people.
I hate to say it, mate, but you ain't exactly beloved of them anyway.
I'm a hero from the roughs.
You're a Connor. And a house lord, mate. Not to mention the fact that you can, you know, fly. You can't treat this like weathering. You can't convince a fellow you're on his side by slapping him in jail overnight and then playing cards with him until he sees you as a regular chap.
You're right, of course.
Usually am.
Except that time on Lessie's birthday.
You always have to bring that up, don't you?
Wayne leaned back, tipping his hat down over his eyes.
Honest mistake?
You put dynamite in the oven, Wayne.
Gotta hide a gift where nobody will look for it.
I need to piece this together. Sketch it out. Write it down. We're missing something very important.
Wayne nodded, but was hardly listening. Wax would figure it out. Wayne just needed to get some shut-eye, while the getting was still good enough, for... He threw back his hat and was on his feet a second later, scrambling for the door. Wax pulled out one of his guns, following as Wayne dashed into the hallway and intercepted the servant with a plate full of little party foods.
Aha! Thought you could slip by me, did you?
The kitchen maid looked horrified as Wayne gathered up three of each of the treats. Wax lowered his gun.
Oh, for Harmony's sake.
Harmony can get his own.
Wayne popped a little cake in his mouth. As he turned back to Wax, the maid scuttled away, heading for the meeting. It wasn't exactly what Wayne had been waiting for. Important folk meeting together always meant snacks, or canapes, if you knew the code. Wayne popped one in his mouth, candied bacon wrapped around a walnut.
How is it?
Tastes like cotton candy made of baby.
I did not need to hear that.
Wax slipped his gun back into its holster.
I'm gonna need to get back out there, see if I can figure out Bleeder's plan. That leaves you here to protect the governor again.
I'll do what I can, but that's a tall order, mate.
I've arranged for some help.
Wax led the way over to the ladies' crapper.
Still changing.
How long?
A woman's face peeked out that looked completely unlike Melan's.
Not long. That lady's hair was a real pain.
I recognize that face.
One of the guards that got shot a little earlier.
Oh, right. Wasn't she one of the ones I tried to save?
Died shortly thereafter. Melan will keep the arm in a sling. That was where the shot hit first, before penetrating into the woman's lung. We'll keep her on the governor's guard staff, and hopefully Bleeder will be so busy looking for you and me that she'll miss Milan.
I hope you appreciate this. I hate being short. As a side note, this lady tasted awful. Far too lean and tough.
The woman's face peeked out again.
Next time, choose a body that's been sitting around for a while, would you? Nice and aged is the best flavor for...
She looked from Wayne to Wax, noticing their expressions.
Oh, right. Mortals. I'd forgotten how squeamish you can be.
Please, show some respect for the dead woman. It's already difficult to let you use her corpse like this.
It's either me or the worms, kids. Don't you think she'd be happy to go out all at once, munched down in half an hour, rather than sitting there and melting into the ground over the course of centuries?
Too much description, Melan.
Oh, fine, fine. I'm almost ready. Just have to get clothing on. How is the hair?
Good. I think you forgot an eyebrow, though.
Melan felt at her face.
Oh, hell, this is what you get by forcing me to work so quickly.
Speaking of quickly, is this about what I can expect with Bleeder? A half hour to change bodies?
No, unfortunately. Pa'alm is old generation, very practiced. I don't think anybody is as good as Ten soon, mind you, but Pa'alm will be fast, particularly swapping into a body she's used before. I've known early generationers who can change bodies in under 10 minutes, and that's going in blind.
Isn't that tough? I once had to eat 20 sausages for a bet. Won 5 notes, but spent an hour on the ground moaning like a fellow on the pot trying to force a mango through his delicate donut, if you catch my meaning.
A short time later, Melan opened the door again and was this time clothed in a black suit like the other guards.
You're cute, Wayne. How's my eyebrow?
Oh, good, but I'm taken.
In answer to your question, it is hard, but not for the reason you're implying. We can force feed and expel excess, which makes doing the transformation near a drain, like in here, convenient. The tough part is memorizing the muscle patterns as you digest them. That and getting the hair right. You people are practically drowning in this stuff. Fortunately, for a quick change like this, I can ignore the hair under the clothing.
So, wait. You're saying we might be able to check if a person is a chondra by...
Seeing if they put leg and arm hair on? Well, that might actually work, but only if the chondra had to change fast.
Arm hair. Right. I was thinking of arm hair.
That is the most difficult part to get right on short notice. We can't make hair, so we've got to use your own and place each strand in a pore. Arms and legs have thousands of the things. What a pain. Far worse than a mass on the head or whatnot.
Wax dug into his coat pocket and brought something out.
Melan, do you recognize this?
I don't have a lot to go on, Chief, but I'd say it's an empty glass vial.
Take it inside and turn off the lights.
Wax tossed her the vial as Wayne stepped forward, trying to get a look. Melan withdrew, then shoved open the door a second later. She grabbed Wax by the mist coat, somehow still imposing, despite the fact that she was now shorter than either of them.
Where did you get this?
Bottom of Bleeder's robes. The one she was wearing to imitate a priest.
This is Perchwither. It's a bioluminescent fungus. It grows only in one place.
Where?
The Chondra homeland.
Oh. So that's where we'd expect her to be going, right?
No. The Chondra are no longer trapped there. We move in society. We have homes, lives. If we want to meet up with others of our kind, we catch them at the pub. The homeland is a monument, a holy site, a place of relics. The fact that she's been there recently wearing the body of someone she killed?
Melan shivered visibly, letting go of Wax.
It's nauseating.
I should check it out. She might be staying down there.
Melan folded her arms, looking him over.
Harmony says it's okay. You can get in through the tombs, look for the sign of ATM, and use your other eyes. We don't use that entrance very often, but it's probably easiest for you. Just don't break anything, Lawman.
I'll do my best.
Lord Ladrian?
Wax turned as a footman peeked in from the hallway, then approached with a small silver tray bearing a card.
Lord Ladrian, your coach has arrived.
Coach?
Wax picked up the card from the tray, then nodded.
Thank you.
He turned to Wayne and Melan.
Keep the governor alive. I'll send word if I discover anything.
So, what's in the coach?
I sent a note soon after I got here to the mansion. There's one person in this city who might have an inkling of what Bleeder is up to.
Ah, of course.
Who? What are you talking about?
Have you ever heard of a group called the Sect?
Wax found his uncle waiting comfortably inside the coach. No bodyguards. The coachman didn't even ask for Wax's weapons as he stopped at the door. Contacting his uncle had been easy. The appointment book had listed a few of Edwin's safe deposit boxes, kept under false names. After posting watch on one for a few weeks, Wax had found a letter inside, suggesting he try something else. He'd left his own letter. After that, one had appeared for him. They never said anything useful, and Wax had driven himself crazy trying to find out how they were being placed. But Edwin seemed to know the moment a new one from Wax arrived. Wax climbed into the coach. Edwin was a stocky man, distinguished by a short, precisely trimmed beard, a beautifully tailored suit, and a cravat so narrow and thin it lay flat like a bow tie loosened at the end of a long night. Edwin's hands rested easily on the ornate head of a cane, and his face bore a wide smile.
Nephew, you can't imagine my joy upon receiving your note, and with a promise that you wouldn't try to arrest me, so quaint. I came immediately. I feel like we've been too distant lately.
Distant? You tried to have me killed.
And you've tried to return the favor.
Edwin knocked with his cane on the roof to get the coach moving.
Yet here we sit, both alive and well. I see no reason why we can't be amiable. We are rivals, yes, but also still family.
You're a criminal, Uncle. Considering the things you've done, I don't feel much familial empathy.
Can't you at least try to be pleasant?
I'll try.
Dangerous night.
Edwin nodded out the window as they passed a group of men and women holding aloft lanterns and torches while listening to a woman standing on a stack of boxes. Rusts, that group was close to the governor's mansion. He hoped that Innate and the constables could get this under control.
I wonder if that night long ago felt the same as this one. The night when the survivor's gambit played out. The fall of a regime. The start of a new world.
You can't possibly think this is equivalent. The Lord Ruler's reign was one of terror and oppression. These people are upset, yes, but it's a far different world now.
Different? Perhaps. But human emotions are the same. It seems that no matter how nice the box is, put a man inside it and he will buck, fight, rail.
And you claim to be on the side of the common man?
Hardly. I want power, wealth, influence. Just like the people in the Survivor's crew, actually.
They were heroes.
And thieves.
They were what they had to be.
And Kelsier himself? In the years before his grand gambit? What of the ascendant warrior living on the street, scamming noblemen and priests for a living? Have you read the words of Founding, nephew? The Historica speaks frankly about their ambitions. The survivor didn't just want to overthrow the Lord Ruler. He wanted to steal the Empire's riches. He wanted to rule the world that came about upon the Lord Ruler's fall. He wanted power, influence, wealth.
I'm not going down this road, Uncle.
Have you ever wondered if you'd get along with them? If you'd lived back then, what would you have seen? A bunch of miscreants? Lawbreakers? Would you have trussed up the Ascendant Warrior and tossed her in a cell? The law is not something holy, son. It's just a reflection of the ideals of those lucky enough to be in charge.
I don't know any constables who think the law is perfect or the courts infallible. But they're the best damn things we have right now, and I'm not going to entertain for a second the idea that you're some kind of secret seeker of justice. You're as rotten as they come, Uncle.
So pleasant. And that is what I get for responding to your invitation. Insults and vitriol. And one wonders why our house is considered a laughingstock these days. I'm told they invite you to parties just to see you strut.
I sent to you because I think we might have a common enemy. I know you want to rule this city. Well, I need you to see reason. I've spoken with the creature. If we don't stop her, there might not be a city to rule.
Edwin looked through the coach's glass window at the curling mists and the darkness just outside.
What do you know? I'm certain the Set has been watching events with interest. Your attempt to kill me earlier. Tell me that was just a strike of opportunity. Tell me you aren't working with her. She'll see it all burn, Uncle. Help me bring her down.
Do you realize what your overzealous campaign against us has accomplished, nephew? Half of the city's elements are too frightened to work with the Set, for fear that you'll show up on their doorstep and shoot their mothers. The money you've seized hasn't ruined us, but it has made some of our members very, very upset.
Good.
You say that because you're ignorant. Among members of the Set, I am conservative. I speak against brashness, against violence. The more you shove, however, the weaker my influence becomes, and stronger grow the voices clamoring for change at any cost.
Oh, Harmony. You are working with her.
It's more like we're riding the storm. Personally, I'd love to see you bring this creature down. It might topple some of my rivals, give me a chance to propose something audacious of my own to the Set. But I'm not going to help you, nephew. Perhaps this is what needs to be.
How can you do this? You're going to watch it all burn?
Ashes are an excellent fertilizer.
Unless they pile so high, they smother everything.
You are short-sighted and self-righteous. You were ever so, even during your youth. But I still love you, nephew. I consider it a sign of that love that I haven't actually had you killed. I keep hoping you'll see we are not your enemy. We are the thieves and miscreants of this day, who will someday be hailed as heroes. The men and women who will change the world because, what was it you said? This is what we need to be in order to survive.
And my sister? Is holding her captive part of what you need to do to survive?
Yes, actually. Because I don't doubt that someday I'm going to need to use her against you. Kill me, and your sister is as good as dead, Waxillium.
He knocked again on the ceiling beneath the driver.
Run along now. Go be the toy soldier and pretend you wouldn't have murdered the survivor's entire crew if you'd lived under the Lord Ruler. Try to pretend you went out into the roughs to find justice, and not just because you realized life in this city was just too damn hard for you.
They sat in the quiet, immobile coach. Wax held himself steady, though Edwin's eyes flicked toward Wax's shoulder holster, as if he was expecting Wax to draw. He could. He could shoot this man right here and now. He'd broken promises before, and to far better men than his uncle.
I'm gonna go deal with this Chandra, but know that I won't forget you, Uncle. One day you're gonna find me standing behind you with a gun to your head, and you'll have the sudden, horrible realization that there's nothing left that can protect you.
I look forward to it. If that day doesn't come before next summer, you should join me for Mariweather dinner. We'll have stuffed pig in your honor.